From WHYY in Philadelphia, this is The Why. I'm Annette John Hall.
Welcome back. It's 5:30 here on this Friday, June 21st. And of course, this is our big story, an explosion at the refinery farm there in southwest Philadelphia around 3:20.
It's been more than a week since part of the Philadelphia Energy Solutions refinery blew up. The facility was already struggling financially and had a history of fires. But the company's announcement on Wednesday to shut down the entire South Philadelphia refinery by the end of July took everyone by surprise, including Mayor Jim Kenney.
It's sad and concerned for the workers, and this obviously was a tragedy I didn't expect to happen.
The decision to close the largest refinery on the East Coast could have a big impact on Philadelphia's economy. About 1,000 people are expected to lose their jobs. On the other hand, environmentalists and nearby neighbors who have complained about its health risks for years are happy about the closure.
Well, it doesn't bother me about them closing. It might probably save some lives around here. I'm pretty sure it will.
Why did the latest fire serve as a tipping point for the refinery's closure? And what does the future look like for this site? Today on The Why, one fire too many. Susan Phillips is a reporter for State Impact Pennsylvania. She's covered the refinery for several years now. So, Susan, let's back up and talk about what happened in the early morning on June 21st.
Right, Friday morning. At around 4 o'clock in the morning, there was apparently a leak of vapor of liquefied petroleum gas. So that could be anything, you know, a combination of butane, propane. We don't know why. There was an ignition. We don't know what it was. And there were several large explosions. Houses shook, woke people up, including one resident I talked to, David Mazur.
I live off Broad and Passyunk, so close, but still, you know, pretty far away.
David Mazur also happens to be the executive director of Penn Environment, an environmental group that has been trying to shut the refinery down. But here's how he experienced it.
I was woken up by three really loud booms, like three loud explosions, one after the other. Boom, boom, boom.
Explosions, fireball into the sky, resulting fire, clouds of black smoke over South Philadelphia.
You had said earlier, we don't know why it happened. Why don't we know?
Well, right now, apparently, they haven't even been able to get onto the site. You know, there's a number of different agencies that are investigating this explosion and fire. And we spoke today to the head of the Chemical Safety Board,
Kristen Kolanowski.
And she says that they still haven't figured out whether it's structurally sound enough for people to go in there.
We can't really know much more until we get in there and take a look.
Refineries themselves tend to be very dangerous. That's why there's a lot of rules about safety. And Kristen Kolanowski, she talks about...
So refineries have a lot of hazardous chemicals on site by the very nature of the business.
This isn't the first time that there have been problems at the refinery, right?
No, there's a long history of fires. In 1962, there was an explosion that killed four construction workers. In 1966, there was a five-alarm blaze that backed up traffic, closed bridges. In the mid-70s, four fires erupted inside the complex. One of the fires was caused by an explosion of a couple of petroleum tanks and pipelines, and that particular fire killed eight firemen and injured 14 others.
I'm Hank Sperker at the Chester Crozier Burn Center, where two firemen are recovering from the recent refinery oil fire. The story tonight on Action News.
An 11-alarm fire that raged for about 24 hours before it was contained, and it even continued to burn after it was under control for about a week.
It was last Sunday that a crude oil storage tank caught on fire for the first time. Today, that fire is still burning.
Now, there was also, as you remember, Annette, even 10 days before this most recent explosion, there was another fire at another part of the refinery. And we still don't know much about that fire.
Whenever we see multiple incidents occurring close succession, we do take a look at that because we're concerned that it might indicate a pattern.
In addition to these fires, PES is a big source of pollution for the city, right?
That's right. It's actually the largest single source of air pollution in the city of Philadelphia. It's also the city's largest source of greenhouse gas emissions. And neighbors have been complaining about this facility for years, how it emits strange odors. They don't know what they are. And, you know, they've really been worried about what kind of impacts it would have on their health just on a day-to-day basis. That's aside from this big fire.
And it's old. This is an old refinery, right?
Yes. I mean, this plant dates back to the Civil War, right? At the time when the first oil boom began right here in Titusville, Pennsylvania. So it's been around for a long time, and it's important to remember that it was around before modern environmental regulations.
Right, right. But despite all that, despite all the pollution it emits, it's still a really important industry for Philadelphia.
Absolutely. I mean, it employs about 1,000 people directly. So it has a significant economic impact in the region. It also provided a significant amount of fuel for the East Coast. It also, not just gasoline and high-octane gasoline, but it also produced home heating fuel for the region. So yes, on a number of fronts, it's an important economic engine because it also has, those jobs are good jobs. Those are union jobs.
Yeah, union.
Those are well-paying jobs.
So last week, the refinery announced its closing. Why now, after all these other fires have happened throughout the years? Why now? Why this one?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, you know, PES has not really been forthcoming in answering our questions, but they did release a statement. I think the bottom line was they didn't have the finances to repair this unit and get back online. At least that's, you know, that's what they said. If you talk to the union president told us that he believes that, you know, they had a lot of insurance on this unit and he's afraid that they're just going to take the money and run. Where the truth lies, I don't know.
So what's going to happen to all the people who work there?
So apparently they were pretty surprised when they were summoned to the plant Wednesday morning. They were all put into one room and told that they would lose their jobs almost immediately. And not only that, but they were not going to get any severance pay. So a lawsuit has been filed on their behalf claiming that that violates federal law.
You talked about the facility being contaminated. What about the cleanup of this facility? I mean, how long is it going to take? What do they have to do to clean it up?
The answers are kind of vague because no one's been really able to get on the site yet. I think there are some changes now that it's shutting down. There are some regulations that will have to kick into gear to make sure that, you know, if it's shutting down, it's shutting down in a way that's not going to contaminate the groundwater and the soil even further. But if the site is going to be turned into something other than a refinery or another really dirty industry, then there really is going to have to be some serious remediation at that plant.
Sure. What's going to happen with the site?
So that's a big question that's on everyone's mind. Annette, the CEO of PES, Mark Smith, released a statement that indicated the company will try to sell the facility to another refiner and restart it. But given the financial liabilities, I don't know how feasible that is. And although I'm sure the union wants that to happen, the surrounding neighborhood certainly doesn't. And I'm sure they will push hard against that. Here's some reaction to the news from one of the neighborhood residents, Irene Russell.
The big news is the refinery is shut down. I'm so glad that it happened because it's keep blowing up. Like, find out what's going on at least. So I'm glad that happened. It needed to happen. And they ain't never got to open back up as far as I'm concerned, really. You know, I'm good.
So it's just going to sit there empty?
Well, one obvious option is turning it into a large storage facility for petroleum products. I think that's happened at a few other refineries that have shut down across the country. But I think a lot of environmentalists and neighborhood activists want a larger discussion about what happens there, especially people like Russell, who has a totally different vision.
Whatever it becomes, it needs to be sustainable. It needs to be fossil free. You know, it needs to be something that's going to be good for the community instead of deadly. Anything but deadly, because we had enough of that. We had enough of that.
Russell's reaction here really points to a shift that has occurred in the public's outlook on these types of facilities. As impacts of climate change, and to remind you, this facility was also the city's single largest source of greenhouse gas emissions.
Right. Do you think that's the big difference here, too? I mean, obviously, the company is thinking more about money. But do you think that the conversation about how to go forward after something like this happens is changing because of climate change?
Absolutely. I really think that that's the case. The difference now is there is just a lot more awareness, not just on the day-to-day pollution impacts from a large industrial site like this. There's also a push for a larger conversation on fossil fuel and fossil fuel infrastructure. And, you know, this is all related to climate change. And how are we going to move forward? What's our future energy outlook going to look like? Because, you know, we all drive cars. We use fossil fuels. You know, hotter days, stronger storms, rising seas. The chickens are coming home to roost. And I feel like there has been the shift, not just with this particular incident, but overall, I've seen the shift over the past like year and a half, to where more people are saying, hey, we need to really rethink this and rethink the future that's not necessarily based on this fossil fuel infrastructure that we've all been reliant upon for the past 100, 150 years.
Susan, thanks so much, as always, for coming in.
Happy to help. Thanks.
The Why is produced by me, Annette John Hall, along with Shai Ben-Yaakov and Alex Dern, under the editorial direction of Katie Culinary. We had editing help on this episode from Eugene Son, with additional reporting from Jimena Conde. Xavier Lopez is our intern. Thanks to the Special Collections Research Center at Temple University for use of their archival sound. Tweet me at AnnetteJH. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow.